You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Carol Rifkin and Bob Hinkle. It is festival season, and a lot of big events are upon us or right around the corner. Merlefest, Leaf, Bonnaroo, the list goes on and on. Today, we're having a conversation about some of the ways that festivals are evolving, some of the lineups and some of the artists themselves. And I'll kick it off with the thought that there has been some talk about some of the larger festivals in this grouping of festivals that we're talking about how they might have watered it down a little bit and gotten some bigger, more successful artists that didn't seem to fit the lineup of the same festival in years past.
Oh, boo-hoo. I don't think so. I think people are just reacting to economic times and trying to be the best they can, really. I know people have said, wow, Dierks Bentley is going to be at Merlefest, and I think that's awesome. They also have Zach Brown, who's a new young country artist that I think we're all going to hear about it at some point. But there seems to be a real merging of music styles. They've still got the Averitt Brothers on Sunday. They've got great bluegrass. They've got great folk, and they're very supportive of, and really I'd have to say one of the most amazing things that festivals do for regional artists is to give those regional artists the opportunity to be mixed in with national artists. Have I rambled enough, Bob? What do you think?
Yeah, that was nice, yeah. one of the things that's causing the festivals to sort of end up shaped like they are, I think, is that as WNCW aside and stations like WNCW aside for a moment, there's just not the radio exposure that there used to be, and there's not the gigantic marketing machines at the record companies that there used to be to sell and bring the attention of the public, the music, for all these bands. And so the bands have got to go on the road. The road is everything right now to an awful lot of bands. And so festivals have become literally in a peculiar sort of a way, the radio of our generation or of our decade anyway.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a great thing. One of the best things about going to a big festival is getting turned on to all of these artists. Maybe you had heard something about them or you caught their MySpace or heard a song or something that way, but you didn't really get to experience them, or you just never come across them, period. And then bang, it's galvanizing.
Right, exactly. And that's, I think that's happened to a lot of bands. I think a lot of bands have gotten started at festivals. The thing now, back to the kind of general poo-pooing of festivals a little bit, though. I'm somebody who owns a venue, a nice, 300 capacity venue in Black Mountain, North Carolina. It happens to be called White Horse Black Mountain. And we have we have to live through these festivals. We've got to be, whenever Leaf comes, we got to figure out, do we want to book the left-handed Lithuanian plumbers, or do we want to book comedy, or acrobats, or what do we want to do? It makes it very difficult for a club to survive. And one thing I will say, and this is just personal, prefer to spend more time with one artist and not have my attention sort of drawn, here and thither and yon to four different stages and five different artists going on at one time to seven different demographies. I'd like to, to sit with, we're having Cat Williams this Saturday night. I want to sit with Cat Williams for a while. I wanted to do two sets. I wanted to talk to me. I want to find out what she's about. I want to be in a place that's sized so that I can see her and see what the expression on her face is and know what she's, have a clue as to what she's feeling. But maybe that's just me.
I want both. I want everything. And actually, it does beg the question. It does seem like there should be interaction between the two so that festivals and clubs can help each other out.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for more intimate settings for a lot of these artists. Like last year at Bonnaroo, I remember seeing Grizzly Bear at a tent. It's big. It's a ginormous tent, really. But it just didn't seem to work for me in that setting. I don't know. And I was really into Grizzly Bear coming into it, but it just did not hold my attention. Other artists that can really jam and rock and things are, much more suited to an outdoor kind of environment.
Right. I will have to say that particularly Leaf. Leaf is the festival that's closest to us in Black Mountain. And Leaf has become a tremendous international festival with people from all over the world. And our relationship with Leaf has been terrific. And we've done things for them. They've done things for us. And it's worked out very well. So in spite of what I said about the festival situation, there are things to be done, things to be gleaned. And there's a great synergy that's possible between the club and the festival.
But you're not alone in that observation, because lots of businesses in towns with, say, street festivals and such, or just in close proximity to a big festival like a Bonnaroo, etc., will largely have to take their vacation at that
right.
time. Like, I'm from near Shelby, North Carolina, and we've got the largest county fair in the state. And historically, local businesses really don't look forward to the fair, because it means that everybody's money is going to the fair instead.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Well, for artists, the festivals are a wonderful thing. It's great to be a local and regional player, but you're in front of the same audience and you're always having to recreate yourself, and you get the whole inbred who's cool and who's not, and perspective. And anyone who's an artist knows that when you step outside of your region, the game gets upped a whole lot, because it becomes way more competitive and way more about what you can do. And not only that, in terms of selling product for an artist at a festival, I mean, I play in the Paul's Creek Band and we have a new CD out. I'm thrilled that that CD is going to be in a market where people from all over the country are going to be able to get to see it or hear it at a lot of different festivals. So for artists, a festival is just an amazing thing. Not only that, we network. It's our networking thing. You know, I'm playing at a lot of these festivals, not all of them, but quite a few. And one of the highlights of it for me, of course, getting to play and meet the people. But the other highlight will be getting to play with the other musicians who are there. You know, what goes on behind the stage is as every bit as exciting as what goes on in the stage.
And I think some of those things ought to be brought onto the stage, frankly. Some of those backstage things.
Well, they do at a lot of festivals. Merlefest's
yeah.
reputation is built on that. And
right.
I think Bonnaroo as well. Isn't there a lot of spontaneous jamming at
Stanford? Yeah, there's definitely cross-pollination yeah. going on uh-huh. and surprise appearances.
Yeah, both of those festivals are known for that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And that's a unique place. That's the only one of the places in the world where that can happen, the festival setting.
Uh-huh. And there are a lot of festivals beyond the big names that are coming through the region. You've got, Albino Skunk? You've also got the French
Broad
River Festival.
Oh, that looks like so much fun. Yeah, French Broad River Festival is becoming a veteran of the festival scene. You know, they've got some staying power going, and people like it, and I think it's here to stay.
13 years now, I think, for French Broad. And
I think it benefits. I think it's also a benefit for some good charities as well.
And having, say, James McMurtry with the Heartless Bastards, I think, is going to be an appetizing kind of headliner for them. Albino Skunk near Greer, South Carolina. Now, I haven't ever been to this, but
I've heard it's really fun.
But you've got folks like Scott Miller, David Vai, the Honeycutters, and a host of others, Buncombe Turnpike in the lineup. The Mac Arnold Cornbread and Collard Greens, and that is going to take on a new form this year. Now, that is a benefit as well. It's the I Can Do Anything Foundation. Portion of the proceeds going to support the music and arts programs of participating schools, but
it's great when they're a benefit. I know Merlefest is a benefit for Wilkes Community College. A lot of people don't realize that all the money they earn goes directly to education, but I think the Mac Arnold Festival also goes totally to educational.
It does, Mac Arnold is one of those people that to be admired by just about everybody.
Yeah.
He's just a wonderful, wonderful guy who I would go anywhere to see, do anything, anytime.
And this time, he's bringing in Bob Margolin, Kim Wilson, Willie Big Eyes Smith,
right.
some really stellar names. Not that Mac Arnold is anything to sneeze at.
Right.
I mean, you know, just go look up his history. I won't go at length here.
And just to do the sort of interplay thing that we were talking about before, Bob Margolin produced Mac's latest record. So, you know, therefore it's natural that he'd be on the festival.
What do you think? We're talking up festival season today on What It Is. Email us whatitis at wncw.org. For WNCW, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Kel Rifkin and Bob Hinkle. Until next time.